Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Adam Kamda. Brilliant indeed that day before he got into his boat and they dedicated to his slot, giving us his report back there and what's happening and the warm Mozambique current coming through, and the brothers were fishing and the whole shoal of Dorados came and bite upon the bite. And some people tell you, hey, my ambition this year is to fulfill it by catching a Dorado. And they've been waiting for the past 3 years. But yeah, there was a bounty, there was a boon of Dorados coming through. Joining us on this segment on hardware is Ibrahim Yusuf Salaji. Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, a beautiful Sunday morning, Ibrahim?
Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Uncle Shafat. This morning, I am doing really fantastic. Everything just feels so right. I'm completely rested. But now that I heard Uncle Ahmed Gamda's show, I just feel like going fishing. So I think a little bit later, I'm going to grab some rods and I'm going to take my lighty out to do some fishing.
Yeah, talking about the, you know, Adam Kamda, talking about it, he's owning the, you know, he has his shop there and so forth. But he's, you know, even during the weekdays, you know that, Ibrahim, during weekdays, early morning, two or three of his friends get together and they take the boat out into the sea and, you know, they spend like quality time. And what a beautiful time. And sometimes maybe throwing the musalla on board and, you know, glorifying Allah. Imagine reading Fajr Salah out at sea, Ibrahim. How would that feel?
You know, I think different stroke for different folks, but I would imagine that to be a very beautiful experience, especially if the ocean is flat. But I don't know if I told you that I get violently seasick. So I don't know how much would stay in me before I would actually be puking my life out.
Now, Ibrahim, another lighty. I must have been 15 or 16. All right, I still call myself a lighty then. And I was on a cruise ship. And, you know, it was violent, the storm. And the ship was actually lifting, listing, they call it, listing from left to right. Left to right. And you can imagine the sea is rough and the ship is listing. Guess what, Ibrahim? People around me were all like, you know, making ulti, ulti, ulti. But I played table tennis. Yeah, but the captain of the ship, he came and said, I said, I play. And I enjoyed, imagine the ship going. It was a unique experience because, you know, the table was mounted and everything. Okay, it went and it was, we enjoyed ourselves. Then, but what I found that during a violent storm, when the ship goes right to, right, and then it goes to its left, the cups and saucers and the plates, they fly from one end to the other end, Ibrahim.
You know, one of my last experiences, I went, we got caught out at the storm and we were close to Tugela, about quite far away, a couple of hours away. And it was a haunting, haunting memory, you know, violent seasick. Your body actually, what is seasickness? You know, seasickness is your body telling itself that it has been poisoned. So it needs to get out everything from your system. You know, your bile comes out, every single thing. And some people, you know, obviously different people react differently. But for me, it was just terrible. As far as the thing rocking from side to side, I've seen it happen. Our rods, our fishing, everything was just, if it was not tied down or buckled down, it absolutely just rocked in from side to side.
That's another moment, people. I hope you can get that, but please, you don't feel the side to side, eh? Just now, you all got dizzy. Say, hey, you know, that Shafat on his fishing show talking to Ibrahim, they got us all dizzy this morning. Okay, cool. Right? You all are cool. Now, Ibrahim, the Dorados, Adam been talking about. How many Dorados you caught in your lifetime?
You know, this one fish I haven't caught, but I've been promised a trip from one of the local fishermen recently. Do you know what? The reason why I haven't caught it is because that's a deep sea fish. And I tried and I tried and I tried, honestly. But just after the last seasickness, no matter what offers guys are coming with, I just can't bear myself. But there's a skipper that promises me. He says, the moment you get sick, I'll take you out. So I decided that one of these weeks, I'm just waiting for his knee surgery to repair. And then after one of these weeks, I'm going out for Dorado.
Well, people, I tell you, Ibrahim Yusuf Salaji will keep us up to speed when the day he lands a Dorado. Now, you know, right near us, a few kilometers away, or maybe, I don't know how far is Amkomas from Zipingo Beach, but 20, 25 kilometers. But the Aliwal Shoal, how often have you fished there?
The Aliwal Shore also forms part of the deep sea experience, but also has a bit of shark caging around it. Just I cannot convince anybody to come with me shark caging at the moment. It seems that I'm going solo at the moment, but the Aliwal Shore is obviously known for those that are fishing off jet skis, kayaking, obviously boats as well. I fished there before. I did fish there before, but not so often. It was in one of my 5 times that I went out to deep sea. Usually we pick up some lovely, lovely game fish up there.
Well, I know Mufti A.K. Hussein, the nephew, Josie Yusuf Karim, Hafiz Yusuf Karim, is a very keen fisherman, and he goes with his boat too. Then I know our musallis in our mosque in Sapinga Beach, Ibrahim. Hey, they are, like, you know, before, they were the elders. They should only talk about fishing of the youth in the koi, and they're only talking, hey, when are you going? What are you doing? What time this? What's the percentage now? I mean, amongst the youngsters, how popular is fishing? Looking at our environment and the vicinity or the mosque, is fishing the topic?
100%. You know, yesterday I was at work, and this guy also from Spingo Beach, he came to the shop, and he was talking to me, and he saw me doing a video, or he saw me wiring up a video on my counter. So he asked me naturally, Ibrahim, what you up to? So I said, no, one of the videos I've explained about was a downlight inside the home, and I just wanted to show the guys that, you know what, how easy it is to wire it up either to a light switch or to wire up it to a plug point. So he asked me, what wiring are you using? So I showed it to him, and I asked him, he said, no, give me the same thing you're doing. So I asked him why you got wiring and a painting pole. So he says, you know what, the painting pole will serve as an extension for a light on the beach. So when I go fishing, I can extend it to however high you want, and the speaker cord and this connection that you made so easy for me, I'll connect it to a battery. And so, yeah, the topic is regular about fishing. Most of the guys come watch my videos or hear me on radio and then come to ask me a little bit of advice, like I'm somewhat of a professional.
Alhamdulillah, you are, because that's your field, and you need to get to know, you know, you need to stay up to speed, and you upgrade and up, you know, you're there, and the upper levels or the higher levels, you know, like a professional giving a professional advice. Now, when it comes to, you know, you're looking at hardware now, the weather has been rather humid. We're getting rain every night, and, you know, if you mowed your lawn last week, you'll have to mow it again. Now, you know, people come to you at the hardware. They say, you know what, Ibrahim, there's in my lawn, it's I need a nice lawnmower with a weed cutter. So because the weed cutter will do all your trimmings, Ibrahim, talk to the people how you would do it. You know, you buy a lawnmower and your weed trimmer or your garden trimmer. Talk to us about the variation. What's the reason for having both, Ibrahim?
Okay, so Uncle Jamal, this is one of the best questions you've ever asked me. Honestly, it's so versatile, this question, and it's actually going to be in one of the videos in later this week or next week. So basically, with the push-on lawnmower, you're getting a much more smoother balance cut, all right? So the cut is even throughout. Now, remember when holding a brush cutter, either due to human nature, you're going to drop the brush cut a little bit more. So you're not going to get an even smooth, almost golf course cut, like a sort of cut. You'll get a neat cut, but if you're not professional enough, you can really hurt. So the push-on lawnmower gives you over a open area. So the tiny areas the lawnmower gets stuck in there is you need in a weed trimmer or a brush cutter. Now, a lovely tip for the guys to note, or the viewers, this is just strictly for the viewers, is you must take your line, your nylon, whatever you're using, either the brush cutter nylon or the round spools of it, and you soak it in warm water before you put it into your machine. Now, the reason what that does is it makes it more subtle, and it does not break the moment you hit a stone. Now, normally you'll see the guys just keep on changing line. It's because they haven't soaked the product in water. Now, this is an amazing tip or hack that the listeners have that will make the line last a lot longer.
Ibrahim, now you know why the municipality is listening to us. I want to know, I mean, on the flat land, they're using the brush cutters or the weed killer, the weed eaters or something like that. But the amount of dirt that thing makes, and then they have to rake it up. But with a lawnmower, you got a nice big, you know, like a big bag in it.
Yeah.
And whilst you're cutting, that's how, your grass is filling up the nothing. It's picking up even the leaves. It's sucking everything up. You got a spick and span and clean lawn. Why don't they use that? I mean, with a, let's be honest, with a brush cutter, your grass is flying all over, Ibrahim.
100%, because Angel Shivas, me and you, we have a way of using a product. So obviously, before we do a particular area, we'll rake up for stones, rocks at that day. Usually, you know what, those, if it's not your product, you don't care about it. So you're driving over rock stones, you're damaging up the blades. Those in charge are getting tired of the repairs. You know what? It's almost 250 rand per blade. Something breaks here. So the brush cutter, the chances of something going wrong is quite low compared to a lawnmower. The lawnmower will give you a beautiful cut, but obviously, if it's the area is not clean, it will cost you huge in damages as well. So I think that's one of the main reasons durability and effectiveness is why they use the brush cutter.
Now, something else I noticed about the new lawnmowers, it's so easy to start. It's like you're starting up a car. Just put start, one pull, and it's on. Like yesteryear, you used the lawnmower, and then the oil mix wasn't right, and the ratio of petrol to, you know, that thing wasn't right. That lawnmower will take half a day to start, and it'll give you 10 minutes of cutting, and the rest, nothing happened. I don't know if you recall that, Ibrahim.
100%. You know, I'm just laughing about it because on Saturday I sold a first one in my store, basically a cordless brush cutter and a cordless lawnmower. Imagine how far technology has come. You literally take a battery and you plug it, a rechargeable battery, and you plug it into a lawnmower or brush cutter, and you can start cutting your grass. You don't worry about load shedding. You don't worry about anything. Basically, if your batteries are charged up beforehand, and the beauty part of this battery is you can use the same battery on your brush cutter, and the same cordless battery will go on your angle grinder, on your drill, on any other tool. So yeah, in the olden days, I remember there's so many checks you have to do, and then you get somebody, you hold this plug while I pull this thing here. I remember those are the good old days.
Now, you know, I'm looking at a message on the screen and it's from Rashid. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Bru Chef. You and that Ibrahim, y'all got something tops here. We enjoying it every minute. Jazakallah khair for that. I want to know lawnmower blades, one size fits all. That's a good question there, Ibrahim.
That's a brilliant question because a lot of people believe that. Unfortunately, no, it does not. So if you turn your blade around, there's a number on it. So it will say 22916 or some other number. It will say 6012. Now the 6012 is your most common blade. So your last couple digits, it will say 226012 or 996. That's how you identify which blade goes in it. Alternatively, if you really messed up your blade, remove the blade, go to the hardware store with that blade, and it'll match it up against the new blade as well as tell them what machine you have.
Now, Ibrahim, when I was a lighty also, they had this type of lawnmower where you pushed it. You know, you turn it like, and you push. Hey,
Correct.
a lot of those didn't tell us that you'll break your spine and all you do things. But do they have that manual lawnmower where you turn off and you're pushing and pushing and pushing? You should do the job. And then you should find a certain guy just to come to your house and to say, oh, we do sharpening. And they should sharpen their blades for you. Did you ever try that manual lawnmower?
Yes, 100%. And I think I still have one of that there. And you know what? It was the what they call the nawai or something. You know, the entertainment or the fascination or something like that. But we couldn't understand, like, you know, how it works. But the principle is simple. It's same like using a slasher, is where a blade is moving at a rapid speed and it's cutting. So it's basically working on your wheels and obviously your gears inside there. I did have loads and loads of fun on it while cutting the grass, actually. So yeah, I got my exercise done, cut the grass, and had loads of fun. You know what? You can't ask for much more than that.
Brilliant indeed. Thayer says, Assalamu alaikum, chef and brother Ibrahim. Please let me know how much are these types of, what is it? Petrolless. Yeah, petrolless. Did he spell that right? Petrolless lawnmowers are going at, and also the brush cutter. I don't mind getting one because I'm using petrol with my lawnmower. But the power is there, it cuts well. I wonder how the power is on these battery-powered mowers. That's another probing question there, Ibrahim.
You know, it's actually quite a good question as well. So they vary in prices, like from basically 3,000 right up to about 4,500 rand, depending on the module and the quality you get. Now, the cordless one with the basically battery-operated one will work quite well. But remember, if I was in their position, I wouldn't take the lower-end battery. So you wouldn't take a 2 amps an hour battery. Rather go between a 4-amp and a 6-amp battery. Remember, especially with a brush cutter, it's drawing a lot of the current, and you don't want to be cutting grass for 1 hour and then sitting and doing nothing for the rest of the time. So you want to have couple of batteries, so when one is on charge, one is on work, and obviously the higher amp and hour batteries will last you a lot longer than the smaller ones.
Yeah, I mean, on a normal cut or a 1 hour cut, how long does that battery last? An hour, 2 hours?
So usually, depending on how you push in that machine, I would say roughly on a normal battery about an hour.
Yeah, people. What y'all say? Yeah, I can hear them already shouting my ear. I'm sticking to petrol. I do it in 25 minutes, my whole yard. Yeah, very good. Stick to that. But some of them, hey, you know, if you've got load shedding. I mean, we're lucky. I mean, our area, I'm talking specifically our area, we hardly get load shedding. But, you know, people are suffering, Ibrahim. They're really suffering in, you know, counting and all. We got family and relatives there. They're ready. I feel sorry even talking to them. It's like a depression that's hitting them, Ibrahim.
You know what? The pain in the people's eyes is real. Honestly, I see every single day. You know what? I've seen the guys come up and says, please, you know, help me, help me. We know who you are. We know you can help us. But you know what? There's only so much that I can do. You know what? I can give you the product. But some, you know what? Look at January, for instance, affordability becomes a problem for the people. The people have school fees to pay. They have food. They have this to pay. And now we're asking of them to buy an inverter. We're asking of them to buy, obviously, a rechargeable fan because they can't sleep. Becoming irritable to work. I've seen so many relationships being put on, you know what, rocks. You know what, the guys are fighting in front of me. I have to now play therapist and tell the guys, you know what, calm down. We understand that you couldn't sleep last night. We understand you're up from 12 o'clock, you know what, but it's not your spouse's fault, you know what. We understand money is tight and limitations have, now it breaks my heart. There's only so low that I can go on my product, so that's what's really difficult for me to watch at this moment.
Yeah, you're quite a young man, and alhamdulillah, you know, you're showing empathy, sympathy to individuals. I also, you know, I know you're a pet lover too. What really gets to me is, you know, when you're at the supermarket and you're buying your pet products, and you find there's old people coming through, you know, old couples, and they're looking at the prices. That is as good as the pension money that they're getting, Ibrahim. And sometimes you just feel, Ya Allah, what shall we do? And really, guilt overcomes you. If you've got some extra, you just go up to them and say, how, have this. Say, no, have it. And you walk away. But it's really tragic that the price of pet food is like, you know, you're buying a Kalio biryani, Ibrahim.
You know, it's really sad. And that's why we see a lot of abandonment taking place. You know, the guys are not abandoning the animals because they don't love them anymore. It's because they can't afford them anymore. There's a huge difference between that. I get people coming to the shop and says, Ibrahim, would you like my rabbit? Would you like this? Would you like that? You know what? It's just getting too expensive to maintain. And I can understand that as well. Currently, I'm sitting in front of my fish tank and I'm thinking, I need to clean this filter. I need to do this. I need to do that. And obviously, I have a dog as well outside. So keeping pets is expensive, and it's becoming more of a luxury rather than a necessity in people's lives. You know, people saying, you know what, we can do without it. And you know what, the kids suffer at the end of the day, because growing up without your pets is sometimes not fun.
Well, Ibrahim, I've got a tabby, and I've got a, what you call that, a Persian. Yeah, that's our Silko. Her name is Silk. And then you saw my roosters and my hen. And now I've got some lovely chicks. Hey, but they like more pets. They love you. And you go there, you talk to them. I spend half an hour talking to them. And our Mufti A.K. Hussein, he, you know, every morning he feeds a whole group of birds and he observes them. They come, they wait, actually wait for him to come and feed them. And you know what? I tell you people, there's so much of barakah feeding these animals, and, you know, especially if they're your pets. And then in our area, we have thousands and thousands of wood, what they call them, doves. And then we have the pigeons. I don't know what to do when you tell the pigeons, please, you don't come, I'm feeding, you know. And then when you put the feed for birds, you know, I buy the wild bird seeds. You get so many different species coming through, the rainbow nation of birds coming into your yard. It's a sight to behold, Ibrahim. What's your thoughts?
100%. My father is the same like that. My father feeds them in the morning over here. And I've tested a project in the shop, you know, where I was testing our products to see, you know, how well it worked. And I tested out one where we built a fish pond or a bath, fish on waterfall. So I tested it with a foam and I waterproofed this entire thing. And I built it nicely in the shop. And my father said, bring it home, Ibrahim. And I said, okay, not a problem. I brought it here and he mounted it in the garden. So there's fresh water and then there's food over here. So it's loaded up with birds currently.
Well, talking about the birds, I'm going to hit the reality check here. Yeah, your father Yusuf is listening there. Yusuf, what about the monkeys? You put a bird bath there, you know, the monkeys come and drink the water out. Then you got your hen and rooster. They're gunning the pen. They want to break the door and eat the feed there too. What do you do then, Ibrahim?
No, now on this one here, you got into a little bit of a touchy subject because me and monkeys, we don't get along. I have been emotionally damaged from them from a young kid. Honestly, remember, Uncle Shafak, you don't have to laugh. You can check this one here. You can laugh at me, not a problem. I was the fattest kid at all. So whenever we went out and all the boys went out and the monkeys started chasing us, who got left behind? I was left behind. Everybody else ran away. So you know what? I have emotional trauma against monkeys. You know, I know I'm a big guy and everything like that, but yo, when I see monkeys, I still panic. So yeah, you know what? I still close the door, still ask, check my machine is up, you know, cable ties required. Everybody, you know, I just make sure nobody opens anything. Don't keep any fruit here. So yeah, just avoidance or prevention as far as possible.
Well, Ibrahim, you know, I'm a softy. I fed the monkeys. I said, especially I said, buy bananas for them and buy them all. Then I said, take a fruit salad and put it there in the tray and they used to eat. And then, you know, a lot of people came and told me, you know, Uncle Shaf, you're looking for trouble. I said, what trouble? Hey, one day they'll turn on you. And, you know, a lot of pressure came and I stopped feeding them. But now and then I still feel sorry for them. And I wouldn't, I know I bought a sling from you, not to hurt them. Just put a potato and just, please don't come near me. And I see once they see a sling, hey, they look up, they understand what that is. And they just sort of walk away. Ibrahim, absolutely brilliant chat with you this morning on your segment of hardware. Your parting words before we let you go.
Jazakallah to the listeners. You know what? I had loads and loads of fun. You know what? Uncle Shaf is an amazing man. You know what? You can send him all your questions, all your duksuk, and then he'll pass on some to me as much as he knows I can handle. But you know what? This is the last weekend before school. Go out, have fun, be safe, and, you know, just enjoy your time. Just be grateful that we're living another day and make sugar for that as well. So that's my parting words to the listeners.
Jazakallah khair, Ibrahim. You have a, mashallah, beautiful week coming up. And inshallah, we'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.